All right, welcome back. Minor Talk is live, presented by Jack in the Box. Open 365, 24/7 in El Paso. Jack in the Box, because cravings don't have a curfew. Also brought to you in part by Boomy Dental, Thomas Adams Apparel, the District Pub and Kitchen West, New Start Homes, and 915 Tours. Shout out to Boomy Dental. Visit them online at boomydental.com. Shout out Chris and Sonia, celebrating an anniversary today. That's why we're not live on Inspo Lens today, but we will be live on Inspo Lens on Tuesday after UTEP men's basketball taking on Loyola Marymount. We start the show today very similar to where we started it in the last loss for the Miners. Close game, but not, you know, too close for comfort, all that kind of stuff, and just not able to pull it out at the end. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP 30-27. Multiple points in which the Miners could have won this game. They went into the fourth quarter with a tie game, 20-20. Jacksonville State has a 64-yard touchdown drive that's capped off by a Cam Cook 1-yard rushing touchdown. They go up 27-20, and then the Miners respond. It was a 5-play, 74-yard drive, which was catapulted by a deep Skylar Locklear pass to Wandami Davis Jr., which set up a 19-yard touchdown pass to Eric Willis III. That was 27 all for Miners and Jacksonville State. And then even though they had zero penalties in the first half, the Miners' penalties started to creep up in the second half, and penalties really plagued them on that final drive defensively. Jacksonville State was able to move the ball methodically. They got a field goal out of that drive. They go up 30-27, and then the Miners essentially go 3-and-out, or 4-and-out, I should say, and their bowl hopes are gone. They're 2-7 on the season. They're now reeling on the year as well, and this is they just are who they are. They're a bad football team at this point, and a 2-7 squad right here is disappointing for the Miners. I was thinking that they would be in a much better place here up to this point. You know, they definitely had a chance to win this one, no doubt, and you can think of that in a positive way. They've got a chance and opportunity to go out there and win a matchup like this, but it's just like Kennesaw State, too close, yet they fall up, you know, they fall short in the end when it's all said and done. The Miners losing today by 3 points. At points, you know, it felt like this should have been like a 10-point game in favor of Jacksonville State. At other points, it felt like the Miners could really pull this one off. You could think a lot of, you could point fingers of blame anywhere. It's too late in the season. Now at this point, you're just winning or losing. And I get it. You know, Scotty Walden talked about improvements at the end, really harped on that and saying that he's truly seeing improvements on a week-to-week basis. Yeah, maybe in certain categories you are, but until you actually put together a win, I don't know if you can actually hang on to a lot of those quote-unquote improvements. And I think you just have to look at this team as who they are. A 2-7 squad who goes into their final three games of the season, which are all three winnable, Sal, but I mean, who cares if you're not in a bowl contention? Who cares if you're not playing relevant football in November? And I think at this point right now, they're just playing for, you know, their seniors and playing to kind of get ready for 2026 here at this point.
Yeah, you're playing out of respect to the commitment that everybody's put in pretty much throughout the year. So you want to finish on a good note there, but it's kind of sad that at this point, that's already been the feeling. Let me go back. It's kind of sad that this has been the feeling all along, but today was the nail in the coffin. Like, okay, now my feeling is validated about how this season has gone. I don't have to worry about so much pressure anymore. Just go out there and try not to look as bad. Because we've seen this team compete game in and game out, but just haven't been able to seal the deal. They'll find, you know, opportunities, but they just can't capitalize on them.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, we're just doing the exact same show from last week. We're doing the exact same reaction after the Kennesaw game. You can look at so many different points of this matchup, right? The 1 of 18, or I should say the 1 in this matchup for, or I should say 2 for 13, there we go, 2 for 13 on third down conversions. 5 of 7 on fourth down, though. They were 5 for 5 to start off on fourth down, and then look, just ran out in the end when it was all said and done. They give up, you know, 2 of those at the end. They couldn't convert on 1 long fourth down conversion. Then the last play of the game, they couldn't convert on fourth down as well. Red zone chances, Miners were 3 for 4. That didn't, you know, work out in, you know, the total favor for the Miners in the way that they wanted. Skylar Locklear, although he had 82 rushing yards, 2 rushing rushing touchdowns. Although he had 244 through the air and two touchdowns, he did throw another interception for a touchdown. And Sal, the stat of four touchdowns that have given up by the offense this year, that's a terrible stat right there when you look at it from a total standpoint. How do you win games?
It's very hard to, especially when the side of the ball that you're good at normally doesn't, they're not supposed to score points. They're supposed to stop the other one from scoring points, and it's kind of like you flip responsibilities. So it's frustrating, man. These are two of the better teams in Conference USA that have a legit shot at playing for that conference championship. You're hanging in there, but not only are you plays away, players away, you're mistakes away on your end too. There's just so many things going wrong where it's kind of like when Coach Walden says that he feels that there's progression, and there may be, but now there's another area or another flaw that gets exposed that you got to correct, and then by the time you correct it, there's another hole that you got to go patch up. So it's kind of like a cycle this year.
Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. Sal Montha is my co-host in the house. Andy Inestrosa producing the show as well here as we get things started on Minor Talk. You want to weigh in, you want to talk about this one, 915-505-6009. Similar to the Kennesaw game, don't expect a lot from our callers out there, our listeners out there tonight. It was a rough one if you're a UTEP fan. Not a lot of fans whatsoever. They called it 9,500 plus or whatever. Didn't look like that. I mean, there were fans in the shaded side. And at one point, the fans started getting wild. You know, you saw the shirtless fans. What'd you think of that, Sal? That was hilarious, huh?
Hey, you got to make something out of nothing, man. That's awesome. You want people at the games in the first place, so let them, you know, let them be.
Yeah, and I love it. There was like, it felt like they started to grow and grow and grow. The video board showed them at the beginning, and then all these fans started to run over to go out and find these guys and start waving their T-shirts out there as well. It's hilarious. But good stuff by those fans. I mean, as far as the fans go in general, why? I mean, it's tough, right? Like, you go out to this one right here, you're hoping for a good one. It's an entertaining game, right? It's back and forth at the half. UTEP still stood a chance. They were down 20-13. They were 0-6 going into the half on third downs, 3-3 on fourth downs. They hung in there in the first half and just, you know, not able to get a lot of ground presence in the first half. In the second half, hung in there as well, just kind of going tit for tat with Jacksonville State. But good teams know how to close out games. This is a good team right there. This is a good program right there in Jacksonville State. And UTEP's still playing catch-up here, Sal. They're just trying to catch up and try to, you know, have success on their side when, in reality, you're going back to the well that's already dry. And even if you're having to play catch-up and trying to, you know, show tangible improvements, well, what about the teams that are already good up to this point? Yeah. It's not like they're going to take necessarily a step back. Jacksonville State came in on a mission. They wanted to become bowl eligible. They wanted to win in a bad way, and they got it. And I really like their quarterback, and Camden Creel, who in this matchup right here, you look at his numbers, 134 on the ground, and then through the air, 181. He did have an interception, but, you know, he still totaled a touchdown as well when it was all said and done.
His awareness in the pocket is insane, and it's going to sound, you know, counterintuitive because he did finish 15-31, so his passing numbers are not the greatest there, but when you look at the plays that he made or plays that he prevented, you know, it's just something that you get to tip your hat to. I can't remember which drive it was. It was near the end of the game, one of the last two or three series, and there was a sack right there, and he had this quick little hitch, and next thing you know, he's not sacked. And both teams, by the way, finishing without a sack. So credit to the offensive line, but you're also a little frustrated with your defensive line and your pressure. However, man, no, great stuff from Krill today. Very special player to watch. And man, as far as Jacks goes, Adrian, just to kind of peel off of them, how about this? Kennesaw State next week, which is going to be huge.
Easily. Oh, wow. That's like Conference USA Championship
exactly.
Right there.
And then they'll take on FIU, who, if we look at the standings, not the best. I mean, they're down there, really nothing to play for, but then they'll take on Western Kentucky. But I'm going to reel off these three teams, Jacks, Kennesaw, and Western. Kennesaw will have Jacks next. We mentioned that. Then they have Missouri State and Liberty, who are they're a stone's throw away from a conference championship appearance, and then the last one being Western, who has they have it the easiest. They don't have Jacks until the last game of the year. That's really their best conference opponents. So these are teams playing meaningful football games right now. And if you're Jacksonville State, the numbers don't pop out too much, but you got to like the care that's been taken of that football for your team.
Yeah, and also the winning mentality ever since they've really transitioned to FBS. You got to also love that too if you're Jacksonville State. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons why that school has had success early on into their college football tenure. But at the same time, I mean, if you're UTEP, when is it going to change for them? And Scotty Walden was preaching patience, preaching building things in year two, committed to the process, committed to the right steps, committed to building and competing and preparing and thinking that winning will be inevitable after all that. I just think that, you know, at some point it's got to turn around for this squad, or they've got to try to figure out how it turns around for this squad as well. Three really winnable games to close out the year, and we'll see how, you know, the Miners fare in these games. At Missouri State next week, home against New Mexico State in the Battle of I-10, and then at Delaware. I think they can go 2-1 to close out the year, and I don't know if that'll really matter, Sal. I just think maybe one of those games on the road they could steal it, and I do believe they beat New Mexico State in the Battle of I-10. But imagine this team goes 2-10. Like, imagine if they go 0-3 during this final stretch. There's been so many times where we predicted ahead and looked ahead for this squad and thought, can they win these games? Can they pull off one or two? How many do they win of their last three games? Last year, they closed out the year positively, even though they weren't playing for much in the month of November. This year, they'll have to play with that same kind of spirit in order to try to get some wins under their belt.
Yeah, they're going to have to. You want to finish on a good note, but I don't know, man. I don't feel as eager about the last three games of the year as many others. I mean, Missouri State, just they're 4-1 in Conference USA right now.
They're not losing.
They came back to beat Liberty as they were trailing at the half 10-0. But they get the win there. They're 4-1 in Conference USA, and it's on the road over there in Springfield. I say no. And then as far as Delaware goes, they're making some noise as well. I mean, it doesn't pop out, but overall 5-4 and 3-3 in Conference USA, which is significantly better than the Miners have
been. True. And Delaware today, walk-off field goal, 51-yard field goal against La Tech. Mm. That's a good La Tech team, 25-24. I know they've been depleted a bit on their side, but those are two teams who are going to flirt with a bowl game. Where are the Miners in the standings right now? Near the bottom. That's where you have to look at for UTEP. They're right there with Middle Tennessee, who's 0-5 in the conference. Sam Houston, who's 0-5 in the conference as well. Miners are right there with NMSU, who's 1-5. And that's your CUSA outlook right there. Miners are near the bottom. They're probably 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th when it's all said and done. And that's how this year's going to kind of stack out for this group right here, who's 2-7. They've been reeling up to this point, and wins against UT Martin and Sam Houston aren't going to cut it for the Miners here in year two. Let's do this. Let's run down the actual game summary here. We'll go over some of the notes that I took. Then we'll talk about some of the other highlights from this game. We'll take calls in between 915-505-6009. If you want to weigh in on the program, you could also hit us up on our free mobile app, 600 ESPN El Paso. You could also hit us up on Twitter next, at 600 ESPN El Paso, and we will read your tweets live here on air. We also want to mention that we will have Miner Talk on Tuesday after the UTEP basketball broadcast, so not going to go too hard today. We're understanding that we're going to be back here sooner rather than later here on Miner Talk, so definitely want to do that. Miners started off with the ball. They punt right away. They get a first down, but they punt right away. Jacksonville State on their opening drive, they bait UTEP on four straight downs, and then everybody loses this guy. A receiver who's on the press box side of the ball, it's a fake wide receiver screen, 77-yard touchdown pass for Jacksonville State. The Miners respond literally the very next play, a Locklear to Wandame Davis Jr., a 75-yarder to tie things up 7-7. Jacksonville State drives it all the way to UTEP territory, and Solo Barnes comes up with an interception. Big stuff there for Solo Barnes, who's been playing great in that secondary for the Miners. Miners go three and out after the turnover, couldn't capitalize off the turnover. Then Jacksonville State gets a couple first downs, then a holding penalty gets them all the way back. They were in a first and goal situation, but a holding penalty pushed them back a little bit. The Miner defense was able to hold on, force a field goal, and then Jacksonville State took a 10-7 lead up at this point. Three and out by the Miners offense, followed by Jacksonville State, who couldn't really do much on offense themselves. Then UTEP gets the ball back. They throw that interception for a touchdown after a good drive. And that's another thing is sometimes these touchdowns by opposing teams off the UTEP offense come after UTEP is putting together a good drive, and that's what they were doing. But an interception for a touchdown, they take it back. Jacksonville State's up 17-7. Miners, credit to them, they respond a 14-play, a lengthy touchdown drive. They make it 17-13. Why is it 13? Because they go for two. I have no clue what that call was. Like, I don't get. And look, like, you could go back to me and say, hey, Miners have been good on 2-point conversions this year. They've been good on fourth down conversions. But Sal, you're at home. You're playing against a team that you really want to beat. And I guess maybe that's an aggressive approach. And I could say the same thing on the other side if they would have gotten the 2-point conversion. But I look back on this one right now and I just say, why? Why did you do that one right here? I just didn't like the 2-point conversion call right there at that point.
Yeah, especially when you're in a spot where you want to be able to not lose points. You know how they say, like, don't try to win the game, don't try to lose the game, that kind of saying.
Yeah.
At that point, it's kind of like, why are you doing something that is necessary in the fourth quarter so early in the game? Not only that, but you rid yourself of that point where, who knows, if things work out down the line and you get a shot at a field goal, you could be winning this thing. And you're playing a little bit differently to close out the fourth quarter in your final couple of series. So, man, that and also, too, Adrian, just the use of timeouts. As long as that first quarter was, it was like 45 or 50 minutes. But two timeouts used in the first quarter when you maybe could have had something down the road in the second quarter that could have helped you out on offense when you needed to, and just the lack of preparation by the personnel that's supposed to be out there. I mean, we've seen it maybe every game this year, at least once, maybe twice, where there's a certain personnel who is supposed to be out there, and when it's go time, there's 6-7 seconds left on the play clock, you're still seeing guys running out and looking around when they should be ready for that play.
So then Jacksonville State gets a long drive to go for themselves, and what they end up getting out of it is a field goal right before the half, 20-13. To your point, Miners had the ball back with maybe like 40-ish seconds left, no timeouts, or maybe a timeout in itself, and they just need it and took it to the half. So those drives could have been used in theory if they had three timeouts to maybe move the ball and get a field goal out as well. Nonetheless, Jacksonville State, they could not get anything going on there. Or actually, they got things going early on their opening drive, but they could not convert on a fourth down play. They boot it, or UTEP gets the ball back on a short field. It was a 46-yard touchdown drive for the Miners that resulted in a 10-yard Skylar Locklear rushing touchdown. Really like this one right here. This tied the game up 20-20, and then this actually dragged all the way into the start of the fourth quarter. So Miners were in a good place. If you remember, at the start of the fourth quarter, the Miners had the ball going into Jacksonville State territory. This was a good opportunity for the Miners to maybe put some points on the board. They drove it all the way to the Jacksonville State 36-yard line, and they took a timeout, Sal. There's your other timeout. They took a timeout on this one. So when you take a timeout, my philosophy is you absolutely need to score. You need to score on this drive, and if not, it's deflating. And on this drive in particular, you're in the fourth quarter. You're in a tie game. Take the lead. You don't want to play from behind. You need to get this drive. You need to get points off this drive. And they turn the ball over on downs on the 36-yard line, unable to convert, unable to move the ball at that point. Then Jacksonville State gets the ball back. It was a long touchdown drive that was sparked by a 37-yard run by Cam Cook. Then he punches it in. 27-20 is the score. Jacksonville State takes the lead late in the game. And then the Miners, they still have a chance. I mean, it's, I said late in the game, but at this point right here, 2:57, plenty of time to tie the game up. And that's exactly what the Miners do. It was a long pass to Wandemi Davis Jr., and that set up the 19-yard pass to Eric Willis III. Credit Skylar Locklear for dicing up the defense and responding at this point, because they were 27-27. Then Jacksonville State gets the ball back, and like I mentioned earlier, a methodical drive that resulted in a field goal that ended up winning the game 30-27. Didn't like the last drive by the Miners, didn't like the play calling necessarily, and that's how it ends. Jacksonville State wins 30-27 when it's all said and done, and the Miners have to try to regroup and try to play inspired going into their final three games, despite losing out on bowl eligibility. They're 2-7 on the year. That's it. And I don't know what we have to think about this team right here. The fact that we don't have any callers at this point, I think that shows you that it's a deflated fan base right now at this point, Sal. I think what you have to realize is that people have kind of checked out, they moved on, and at this point, you know, I don't really blame them. This feels like it's Groundhog Day. It feels like it's the exact same thing you saw last week from UTEP, and it's just coming up short in key moments. Like, even if they had an opportunity, even if they had a chance to really hang in this one, they didn't do their part in order to win this one on their side. So disappointed by the outcome in this one when it was all said and done.
Yeah, it's loyal fan time, and that just means like, hey, only the loyal fans are going to be the ones out there. They're only going to be the ones talking about the team, and it doesn't matter your level of loyalty to a team. You just want people out there when it comes to filling up the stands. And UTEP very, very far from reaching out to those, and they're at the point where unfortunately some fans are the diehards, some of them are backing off, and it's not just it's like compound interest that's negatively affecting you. It's like interest on a credit card or something where the balance just gets higher and higher, and it's like, what do we even do at this point? So it's tough football, because you feel like there's new ways that this team loses these games.
Jack in the Box brings us Miner Talk, thinking way outside the box and open 24/7, because cravings don't have a curfew. UTEP Zay is in the house. Zay Galindo, after the Jacksonville State 30-27 loss, we have been having a pretty low key show here on the program today. I think the fan base, as you saw today, Zay, not a lot of people out there at the Sun Bowl, and the Miners really not having a chance to come back, or I should say having multiple chances to come back, but not executing down the stretch. That is ultimately their downfall tonight, and the Miners lose again, yet again, to Jacksonville State, 0-2. I don't know if they'll ever, similar to the Kennesaw State games, I don't know if they'll ever play Jacksonville State after this year, knowing that they're going to the Mountain West.
Probably not, right? But, I mean, these non-conference games, they might switch around a little bit. You know, UTEP has so many Mountain West opponents in their non-conference. So, I'm interested to see who they'll play in the non-conference in the coming years. But besides the fact, disappointing loss, of course. They were able to tie the game late. You give the fans some hope. But funny enough, we talked about it all week, how good this UTEP defense was. But when they needed to show up the most, they didn't, right? They allowed that big run from Kappa. A big run from Kappa right there on that last drive that really kind of ended things. They did. They were able to force just a field goal, but nonetheless, too little too late. And that's the story of this UTEP team, especially at home.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. As far as what we saw from Creel and Cook on the ground, they were able to dice up UTEP's run defense in a big way. Guys, you both picked UTEP, and I don't think you even talked to each other, but I felt like you guys feel probably right now. I felt like in the last week, I was like, okay, UTEP can win this one. And throughout the game, I was like, wow, UTEP can actually win this game against Kennesaw State. And then you guys got a chance to experience the exact same thing. I just realized, like, I'm out until they bring me in. I'm out. Like, I can't pick this team moving forward against good teams or winning teams, at least. So both of you guys on the other end of the spectrum, as last week I was the one who was on that side of the spectrum and thinking the Miners could pull it off, Sal.
So I just want to be clear, mine was not serious, okay? And the reason why I say this is because for job number one for me, I had work early in the morning, and I'm like, I'm going to cut it pretty close to broadcast time. Like, I have to be here at a certain time. And I told Adrian yesterday, man, like, if it all works out well, I'll get here 15 minutes before we start. This is a true story. So, I told him that yesterday. And then today I'm texting him. I'm like, I have 45 minutes to get there, and I made it here, 11:25. Yeah, super easy. So I text you, like, I'm transitioning my clutchness to them, and they're going to win. So that's all that it was about. I got them close. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Zay, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'll take this UTEP team 9 times out of 10. I don't hate my pick, It could have been one. it probably should have been one. So I don't mind it. If I could go back in time knowing the result, I think I'd still pick UTEP just because no one in this conference is good. You know, I'm not going to look at anybody's record. I think it's going to be a one-score game throughout these next three games, no matter who they're playing, whether it's the Aggies who just lost on the same boat as UTEP, or if it's Missouri State who just beat Liberty to become bowl eligible, even though they can't even go to a bowl. So I think that these games will be close no matter what.
Let's go to the phones. We got a couple phones to get to, guys. 915-505-6009. Let's go to Robert first, and then we'll go to Eddie DeMayer, who's going to join us next. Robert, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Hey, Rob. What's up, man? I'm doing well. Congratulations to your Broncos. They look great right now, by the way. Give me your thoughts on UTEP right now as they're 2-7.
I'm not that, bummed anymore. I think it's kind of like, I think Sal said earlier it was the nail in the coffin, so I don't think anyone got too emotionally high on UTEP. I think most people are like, hey, if we win, it's a plus, but, I don't think they're really expecting it. So it's something I've been wanting to call about for like the last two or three weeks, ever since they made a quarterback change. And I never thought Locklear was better than Nelson, but what I will say is in Scotty's offense, I actually think he is. And why I say that is because having just to see another year of Walden's offense, which is basically very short passes to the sidelines, I don't think he needs a gunslinger, a guy that can air it out, a guy with limited mobility. I think he needs a guy that can run, a running quarterback. And that's why I say Locklear's better. I think the type of quarterback that Walden needs is like a Locklear, a Kyle Oxley. I guess he doesn't seem to be too concerned about, a throw more than 8 yards, because Locklear can't make those consistently. So I rule out guys like Hardison and Malachi Nelson. I don't know why he brought him in. If you're just going to do, runs up the middle and short passes, then Locklear is your guy. And I guess like half the offense is Locklear improvising. I don't think people realize how bad the offense is, right? Like half their yards is Locklear going off the cuff, a not designed play. And that's just really bad. And the second thing I'm going to say with that is it's been pretty evident all season how bad they are in the trenches on both sides. It's really bad. If you're getting ran all over by Kennesaw State and Jackson State or Jacksonville State, that's not good, man, especially going to where they're going. I thought they should have placed an emphasis on that. And in recruiting, if you can't move the line of scrimmage, 1, 2, 3 yards, that's not a recipe for good football, like in any level. So they missed the ball with, up front. I think that's one thing that I did like about Dana Dimmel was he was always able to get some decent linemen. And I did make things a little bit easier, even though his play calling wasn't the best. And then the last thing I'm going to say is I think Walden, it just looks like he's just more, better suited to be or maybe he's more invested in being a coordinator than a head coach. I don't think he could do the both. I don't think he could do the two. I don't think he's capable of doing that yet. Not saying he can't do it in the future, maybe in 5-10 years, but manage a football game and get your offense into the right play call, I don't think he can do both. It's very clear. So either he needs to give up the play calling or, we're going to continue on this downward spiral. But, yeah, man, that was it. I didn't get too bummed up about it.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And I appreciate it, man. I appreciate your phone call. Thanks for weighing in. I feel like what you said, as far as the quarterback situation goes, is true. I mean, in the future, the Miners are going to really have to prioritize a running quarterback, a guy who can be dual threat in his abilities, a guy who has that kind of prowess behind him, and a guy who maybe, fits the similar models as Skylar Locklear, but to, Rob's point, maybe somebody who can continue to be a pocket passer for them, or can do that as far as being a passer for them. And I think that might be a little unfair to say that against Skylar Locklear. So much is asked of him for this offense right now. In fact, I think he's really the only reason why the offense is putting up points right now. And that's not a good thing either. Like, that's a pretty bad red flag right there, knowing that he's probably one of the strong points of their team, and they don't have a lot of people who can complement him around Skylar Locklear. And, you know, that's going to be a challenge going into the offseason. How do you get that offense with better talent, with better personnel to roll out for next year? Is it simply injuries? I don't buy that necessarily. I think there's other factors behind it, and they haven't really found a consistent run game all year long. Receivers just didn't, you know, pan out the way that I think they thought they would going into this year. There've been some emergence from others or from certain players, but from a totality standpoint, it just hasn't hit, you know, for this offense this year. Let's go back to the phones. We got full phone lines, 915-505-6009. Next up with us is Eddie Morelos, who's joining us next. DeMayer, who's joining us here on the program. Eddie, were you one of the shirtless guys in the stands here today?
I was trying to be, but they wouldn't let me move from my own seat. But I wanted to get over there because it was a growing crowd, and I had a good pump, you know, at the weight room before the game.
There you go.
And I was like, I fit right in with those guys. But that was super neat. That was probably one of the neatest things of being there at the game. You know, one thing I'm going to mention, Adrian, is it's been talked about all year long, and the previous caller just said it, the play calling, once again, very disappointing. You already mentioned about the two-point conversion, and I'm just going to throw this out there. You know, it was tied 27-27 late in the game. Does it cause a different mentality in the opposing team if it's 28-27 at the end of the game?
Yeah, you know, that's, probably.
That's a question. Does it put a little bit more pressure instead of it being a tied ball game? You know, the Miners have the lead, you know, those kind of things. And I agree with the previous caller. You know, I don't see Scotty Walden as a head coach. You know, he wants to be the play caller, then be the play caller. Don't, you know, if you want to be the hype man, then be the hype man. You know, I'm with the previous caller. I don't know if he can handle both right now. He's very young, what, 30, 35 at the most, whatever his age is. And yep. Maybe he will be able to do both at one point in his career. But right now is not the time. And I really hope the Miners figure it out. However, I will say one more thing. Excited for November the 22nd there at Sun Bowl Stadium. I hope all of the Borderlands shows up for the, I don't want to call it, I'm not going to say it on there, but yeah, for the matchup between the Aggies and the Miners.
I think I know where you're going on that one, Eddie. I appreciate it, man.
Much love to you guys. Have a happy Miner Talk, dude.
Thank you, man. Let's call it the last UTEP game between New Mexico State in maybe, you know, 2-3 years. Maybe that's what we can call it instead of the toilet bowl. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso, Twitter next. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Miner Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box, right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. I'll get our guys to react to all these calls as well, but let's go to Enrique, who's next with us. 915-505-6009. Enrique, what's going on? Good afternoon.
Hey, Adrian. It's good to talk to you guys again. I will tell you, I was one of the guys up there, the one of the shirtless maniacs up there.
There you go, man. See, we finally got somebody up here. So you were the one who was keeping this up and making this go.
It was a lot of energy up there, and I really felt like the team was feeding off of it. It was a lot of fun.
Tell me what you thought of this game.
I just want to hit on something real quick, Adrian. Something I want to remind all our callers. This is Scotty's second year. You guys are holding him accountable as if he's been coaching for 4 or 5 years here already at UTEP. This guy has moved from an FCS school to an FBS school. We saw the growing pains from last year, but this team, this coach, his staff, has definitely grown from last year to this year, and he's definitely seen what it's take to compete at an FBS level. John Teicher touched on it earlier. Price touched on it earlier again also during that talk, press conference with Scotty Walden. They're staying competitive. And everyone's already jumping the wagon. And it's making me really sad and depressed when it comes to our minor fans talking about our coach, because they're like the same thing they did to Joe Golding. They're very quick to judge. They're very quick to pull the trigger. They're calling for Joe Golding's head. They're calling for Scotty Walden's head. This is only his second year. And what's going to happen, minor guys, when we lose against Oklahoma and Michigan next year? You guys are going to jump off the bandwagon too? Or are you guys going to stay minor faithful and cheer on our minors?
Okay, let me ask you this, Enrique, just to play a little devil's advocate, because what you're saying is, you know, you're saying a lot of facts right here. I think there are a lot of impatient people out there, and I think that is a product of not just this year or the last 2 years. It's the fact that they haven't won in the last, you know, 60 years as far as going to a bowl game and winning a bowl game. You know, it's been a long time. But I'll ask you, how is it that a school like Kennesaw State has immediate success in just year one of Jerry Mack? And I mean, that guy didn't, you know, he didn't coach at the FCS level. He was like, he was coached at the Power Four level as an assistant. And how has a school like Jacksonville State had so much success early on transitioning from FCS to FBS? They've only been in FBS for a couple seasons now, and it feels like they've been putting winning season after winning season together. And you could talk to me about, you know, proximity, geography and stuff like that, but when it comes to NIL, those excuses don't hold true when it comes to Jacksonville State and, you know, Kennesaw State. And let's not even compare those two. Let's just compare a team like New Mexico State. How is it that that school over there has more success in football over the last decade than UTEP's had over the last 50 years? Like, those are tough pills to swallow right there, Enrique. And I think that's where UTEP fans are coming from with their impatience. I'm not saying it's justified to go out there and say Scotty Walden should be fired. I think that's a really hasty thing to say right out of the gate. But I will say that accountability has to reign true, man, not just with the coaching staff, but with everybody involved. This is not a good thing right here, and you can't just accept this going into year two. If they end up only winning 2, 3, 4 games, like, that's a major fall off from what people had expectations wise going into the start of this year.
I feel you. I really do, Adrian. And you're making a lot of good points. You know, like, we saw Kennesaw, we saw Liberty. And these are very good examples of what you can come in from an FCS level, compete at an FBS level. But looking at Scotty Walden's track record, you also got to look at it there. It took him, what, 2, 3 years, growing pains at that level, for him to remain competitive. And you got to give it time. And unfortunately for UTEP, we don't have a lot of the resources that a lot of these other schools, like Jacksonville State, like Liberty, like Kennesaw, that maybe they do that we don't. And I don't want to say proximity, because we have a very good proximity here in El Paso, because we've been able to utilize the Texas pipeline.
Sure,
but unfortunately,
sure,
we don't match up on the NIL.
Not with Jacksonville State, not with Kennesaw State, my friend.
Well, we're living and dying by the transfer portal. We lost a lot of good retention players with our offensive line. I'm pretty sure, Adrian, if we would have kept a majority of our offensive line and built up on that, we wouldn't be having this discussion about Skylar Locklear and Malachi Nelson.
So you think the line is the issue? You think the offensive line's the issue?
It's been the issue. You matching up these guys from last year, this year, to where we're competing, yeah, they're tall. They have that they have that body, but We're being outmatched on that offensive line. Look at the last 2, 3 years, couple of years. We haven't been able to get the run game going. And then we're expecting Malachi Nelson to sit there in the pocket. We got to have someone to protect him in the pocket to be productive. That guy's a good quarterback. Unfortunately, right now it's not his system, because right now our system very much is a mobile quarterback. And that's what's been keeping us in the game with Skylar Locklear. But if I guarantee you, we were to bolster and up that line on this transfer portal and with these upcoming recruits that we picked up on recruiting, I guarantee you, Adrian, that we'd be having a different discussion next year in the Mountain West.
They've only been sacked 20 times this year.
We haven't been able to open up the run game.
I mean, that's fair.
I'm an old school guy. You know, I grew up in the old minor days where you would pound, pound, pound the rock. And then, of course, you know, we're not always going to be graced with a Jordan Palmer. And kudos to him for being inducted to the Hall of Fame today. But, you know, I really believe that Malachi Nelson has the potential to be our Jordan Palmer. But we got to build around him. We got to build that line. We got to get that running. Because I guarantee you also, if we had a Aaron Jones-type running back with Malachi Nelson and an offensive line, our offense would be on cue. And we would not be having these cap discussions right now. In fact, those haters were talking about Scotty Walden wouldn't be calling for his head, but they could be calling him a genius.
Fair. Enrique, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thank you for weighing in. And yeah, you're entitled to all your opinions. You're entitled to your thoughts. Sal, go ahead. You give us your thoughts.
I mean, that's a lot to take in. It's basically
I disagree on that.
I mean,
and I disagree on Malachi. Drop Nelson Aaron being Jones, the quarterback.
Let's not even go NFL. Aaron Jones. Let's go UTEP. Aaron Jones. Drop him on any college football team. In you know,
easier said than done. It's a once in a generational type of running back. Right? Yeah,
it's like nah, man. I think the issues. There's so many little things that they don't do right, and eventually, you know, it just catches up to them. Like just to start out the game, I'm trying to remember what it was that they did, but they put themselves in a hole early on.
Well, how about the blown coverage? The blown coverage. Like there's just
so many little plays like that where it's these self-inflicted wounds that hurt your drive, and now you're changing. You're changing up your game plan from what you normally want to do because you're in a hole that you shouldn't be in at that point. It's just like I don't think it's necessarily the offensive line. I don't even know, man. I think lack of preparation and lack of execution just all around, being in the right place at the right time, and then when you are in the right place, capitalizing on that moment.
Zay, the moral – I mean, I think Enrique went a lot of different places on that phone call, right? But the basis of the phone call was to talk about patience with Scotty Walden under year two. Your thoughts on that?
You know, I think I agree. You have to be a little patient, but right, you make the right points. NMSU won in year one of Jerry Kill, and they won even more in year two of Jerry Kill. Right,
and before that, they won with Doug Martin, who wasn't really that good.
Yeah, they won a bowl.
They won a bowl game
there, so that's more than UTEP can say. And I think that you know, New Mexico's winning. And, you know, Kennesaw State, Jacksonville State, Sam Houston State won 10 games last year. So it can be done. It can be done with, you know, the resources that UTEP has. It can easily be done. But things just don't go right. And that's the UTEP, you know, it's the stigma. It really does weigh on the game. It weighs on UTEP themselves because this is just not a winning program. And there's certain things they do on and off the field that end up like that. So I agree that you got to give it time, but at the same time, I don't think that anybody's above criticism when you are 2-7 and you haven't won a home game in 2 months.
And I know that Kennesaw and Jax are getting a lot of credit, but let's flip it over. I'll leave one team out because this team can buy their way anywhere, and that's Liberty. Okay, but
true.
Missouri State, Delaware.
What's the excuse there?
I mean, those guys, most state, who they have.
I was
next,
making fun of both these teams.
Like 6-3, 4-1 in Conference USA, Delaware. 5-4 overall, and 3-3. They have two more conference wins than the Miners do on the season. They may have two more conference wins overall. They may have
That's
the same
disgusting.
Amount of wins the last 2 years, their first year Conference USA.
That's
but
disgusting.
Like these are newer members with significantly smaller populations that are outshined by teams in the region. We're talking about, you know, like who's the big dog near UTEP? You got to go pretty far, but there's a lot of them. It's UT, you know, A&M, but Delaware. I mean, hey, how far is Maryland?
It's probably Penn State.
Forgive me for Maryland. Listen, I'm so far in my dynasty, like 2034. Maryland is nasty. So anyway, but my point is like these other guys are doing it too, and I don't buy that argument about NIL. Everybody is at this level has to find a way to compete.
I think there's just a lot of excuses that everybody can make out there. Bottom line is they're just not winning. Like, make all the excuses you want. Go ahead. These other schools somehow have found a way to not make excuses and win games, right? Like, at the end of the day, that's what it is. Like, an excuse is what it is. An excuse. Guys, like,
yeah,
that's what it is. And there's some bright spots on this team. I'm not saying the sky is falling down. I'm not saying that they need to pull the plug and fire people after this year. Like, I'm not saying any of that. But there has to be some tangibility after year two, right? Like, and you know, maybe we sound a little bit hypocritical because at the same time, Dana Dimble, after year two, they were 1-11 and 1-11 in back-to-back years,
yeah,
those first two seasons of RIP Dana Dimble. But, like, they were. This is just a bad football program. It's hard to win at UTEP for whatever reason it is. You can call it curse. You can call it things aren't going their way, whatever. They just aren't getting it done. And I think that, you know, even though they're preaching the patience, it's hard. When patience just dries out and wears out, how do you go back to the well over and over and over again to your fans hoping for something better and just the outcomes just never come? Back to the phones. It's George who's joining us next on the program. 915-505-6009. George, good evening now here on the program. What's going on?
Okay. Adrian, I was watching the game. And you know what? They came back and fought as best they could. I wasn't expecting much from them. I wasn't expecting much from when they played Kennesaw State. It's been a lot of close games. They could have won because of coaching decisions and going in on fourth down and stuff like that. That puts your defense at a very hard place to try and defend. You know, I do agree with the caller before. You got to be patient. You know, it's not like basketball. Basketball, you can recruit and get more players, better players. You know, football takes a little more time. I'm not all out. I mean, this is a pretty bad team. But you know what? I've seen it with Dana Dimmel. I've seen it with Mike Price. I've seen it with several other coaches. And unfortunately, we don't have a good running back. We have somewhat of a decent quarterback in Skyler. He's a lot better, more improved than he was last year. I think he's grown a lot, and I've liked the way he has the vision in the running the ball and you know, heard his decision making and everything. You know, he doesn't have that strong of an arm as Malachi, but I think a lot of decisions that Scotty's made earlier on and in hanging with Malachi and giving him the opportunity, where he should have maybe stuck it out with Skyler in the beginning, and then Skyler was kind of like, you know, you have this great quarterback from Boise State that hasn't really played, and you have Skyler that knows your offense, that knows, hey, you know what, this is what it takes to win. Maybe, you know, you give him the opportunity to ride with that horse, and if that horse is not producing, then, you know, you bring in Malachi and you give him the opportunity. But I think it's kind of unfair to put in Malachi before when your quarterback was Skyler. You know what I mean? And
sure,
we did suffer several injuries in our running backs. Thomas and Emery went down. You know, it's kind of hard. But I do believe that Scotty is going in the right way. It's not what we expect. You know, it's going to be ugly, but it can be done. And I think he has made some points to get better and to improve. I mean, you see it in Skyler. You know, they're in the game. They just haven't been able to win it right then at the end.
That's a good point, George. I mean, I'm going to bring you guys in on this because we haven't really touched on this right here. Skyler Locklear, he does it on the ground. He does it through the air. He has the turnover. But, hey, Malachi Nelson had the turnovers too. So, you know, if you want to talk about turnovers, they were having turnovers before Skyler, and they were having turnovers with Skyler. So I'm not faulting him too much for all that right there. Could you make the argument, say, that they're doing everything right with Skyler except winning? Like, he's done everything right in his second year with the Miners except actually win more games under his belt during this stretch right here?
No, I really don't see a big improvement from Skyler from year one to year two.
Okay.
I do think that he's the reason UTEP's in a lot of these games, but he was the reason UTEP won the Kennesaw State game last year. He was a big reason why UTEP won the NMSU game last year. And the other big reason was Cam Thomas. He's out this year. And I just think that the play calling doesn't help him. Yeah, it really doesn't. I think that there was a lot of plays. I have a hot take. They're forcing the ball to Kenny way too much. He had 12 targets today, only 4 receptions, had a couple of big-time drops. You know, I don't see a big bright spot from anyone on this offense. And I just disagree. I don't think Skyler's doing everything right. I you know, I see the bright spot still. You see the potential, but he needs to put it all together. He has not been as consistent as he needs to be. And 16 of 32, 240-something yards. Yeah, it's not a bad stat line, but he just needs to be better.
Sal, how do you see it?
Yeah, I agree with Zay, man. And the reason why is he's extending plays with his legs if it gets to that point. But I use like that fourth quarter analogy. It's kind of like Skyler's getting by on these do or die situations. And it's like, man, it's middle of the second quarter, and it, you know, he's putting his body on the line. And unfortunately, man, it's a dangerous style of play that that could catch up. You don't want to see it catch up to him, but he's willing his way with this offense. It's just a bunch of second and third efforts. But let's just say the play is progressing properly. When it's not touchdowns to your team, it's a touchdown to the other team. Back-to-back, you know, turnovers for the Miners that result in touchdowns, you know, for the opposition. And that one was just a big nail in the coffin. And especially when you saw that drive go really well up to that point. There was a stat. I got to look it up for the other games. But today, at least three or four drives, I'll pull up the log right now, where it was at least five plays or more in a row. Three or four drives in a row that had five-plus plays. You know how how valuable that can be when you're able to click and your defense is able to get stops when they do? It helped them out this game. Unfortunately, just ended in a pick six for the Miners on that drive. So all that to say, I don't see that big jump. He's a bit more mature in deciding you know, his runs, but overall, I can't really say yes.
Yeah, I would say that for me, he's throwing his body on the line, and he's doing everything he can, and they're just still not getting wins. And I don't know if that leads to tangible improvement over year over year. I will say that as a leader, he's gotten a lot better, and you could totally see that. But again, how much does that play into wins and losses? So far, since starting these four games, he's had one under his belt. Like, he had the Sam Houston win under his belt, but other than that, they haven't won any other games. And I think you can hang your hat on being close in these games against good teams in this conference. But you know, what is a good team in Conference USA? Kind of going back to Zay's point, what is this conference really made of? Not much. That's how I would look at it. Back to the phones. Dan is next with us. 915-505-6009. Dan, good evening. What's going on, man?
Hello, sir. Yes, I just want to say UTEP, we're a mid-major school, and they're going to give Scotty at least 5 years, but Scotty's not a head coach. He sucks. They need to put Nelson back in.
Man, another Nelson call.
Nelson is a good quarterback. If you watch the first three or four games, the receivers were dropping balls. If you see, go watch the film. The receivers are dropping balls. Everything. The defense sucks. They're like Dallas Cowboys. And Nelson is like Dak Prescott. He's trying to make plays. And yeah, yes, he throws interceptions. There's a few interceptions that weren't his fault. But you know what? The other times, yes, I'll admit, Nelson threw some passes that he shouldn't have thrown, but he needs to be in the game. Best recruit in UTEP history, and he's on the bench? Locklear is not a good quarterback. He is not. Okay? So the defense, that's another story too.
I hear you. Dan, I hear you, man. As far as the Malachi stuff, Zay, I got to bring you back here. I didn't expect this today. For us to get back to the Malachi port, for some of our listeners out there, that they want to see Malachi Nelson back in the mix for UTEP, I didn't see this coming.
I did. You know,
you saw this coming.
The minute somebody struggles, they're going to call on the other guy, and it's just a back and forth. I mean, when Malachi was struggling, when he threw five interceptions against Louisiana Tech, they were like, this guy stinks. They need Skylar Locklear out there. And then the minute Skylar Locklear isn't, you know, a crazy great quarter, I mean, he lost the battle to a guy who threw five interceptions in one game. What were we expecting Skylar Locklear to do? Come in, miraculously save the season, lead UTEP to a bowl win? Like, you know, the fact of the matter is UTEP has two quarterbacks, and none of them have really shown a huge, you know, anything,
yeah,
right?
Their
wins are a UT Martin win for Malachi Nelson, an FCS school, and Skylar Locklear's win was on the road against Sam Houston, who has won a game. So, I mean, neither of them have really proven anything, and yeah, I think we need to stick with one guy, and I think that one guy is Skylar Locklear, because I agree with one of the previous callers said, Malachi Nelson just doesn't fit in this offense. You saw it from, you know, the struggles against Louisiana Tech and Louisiana Monroe. it just doesn't fit. They clash, and I'm not saying clash like verbally or anything, just their play styles and what Scotty wants to do offensively, his philosophy, and what Malachi is actually good at. They just clash, and they don't clash in a good way. So I do see the Malachi Nelson talks coming. I mean, that's just how football fans are. The minute somebody struggles, you want to put in the flashy five-star that you have, but you got to rock out with Skyler.
I would say for another call to go for Malachi's way was not on my bingo card. I thought win or lose, people would understand that it didn't really work out with Malachi, and why do you go back to the well this late in the season? That's another thing. But good call there, Dan. I appreciate your phone call. Appreciate your passion and your enthusiasm on this one right here. Had Rob text in. He was like, dude just told you to go watch the film, as if he's watching film. I was at the game. I didn't need the film. I was at the game. I watched the whole thing myself, so I don't need the film right there. I appreciate Andy and Estrosa screening all the phone calls, by the way. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-60 009, as we got another call ringing in here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Back to the phones we go. Bobby is next with us. Bobby, good afternoon. Actually, I should say good evening. I've been saying good evening recently. Good evening, Bobby. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, guys, I just had a question. You know, I watched the game on TV. I mean, they don't look too good. But I had told you guys before the season started, just being honest, I didn't think they were going to be good at all. Two games at max, two, three. And I don't think it's the coaching. I think they got the coaches. I really like their head coach a lot. But when you put it all together, it's the talent, man. Look at these guys' players, and look at these guys' players. You might have three or four from the minors that are pretty good in offense, but you're going to have seven or six better from the other team. It comes down, in my opinion, what I've been seeing. I've been seeing football for a long time. I see the talent is better with the other teams, just overall better. Their quarterback that they got, that guy from USC, I don't think he's that good. I've seen him play a couple of times. He throws the ball high, throws it low. This guy's better, but I don't even think he's that good either. Something's going to have to change soon. Maybe next year when they go to a different whatever you want to call it, division, conference, whatever, going to be harder for them, but in a way it might be better for them because they'll probably get better talent coming in. You're going to see the stands more full because people know these teams. They don't want to see a Louisiana Monroe. I don't want to go pay for a Louisiana. I want to see a team that I've seen for years and years win or lose. You know what I mean?
Sure.
As long as the minors keep on trying and trying, that's all that I want. But I can see it's not there, man. That's all I have to say.
Appreciate it, Bobby. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Full phone lines right now as we continue. Louis is going to join us next, and then we've got Brian. Our show is presented by Jack in the Box, by the way. Also brought to you in part by Boomy Dental, Thomas Adams Apparel, 915 Tours, the District Pub and Kitchen West, where we were at earlier today for the Minor Talk tailgate. Appreciate everybody stopping by today. It was a lot of fun, and we'll continue here on the phone lines here in this Saturday, now evening, here on the program. Louis next with us. Louis, good evening. What's up, man?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Just listening to all the comments talk about who should be a quarterback. It doesn't really matter, guys.
I don't think so either. Louis, I'm sorry to cut you off. I don't think it does either.
Yeah, we won against an FCS opponent and probably the worst Division I football team. I mean,
in the country.
What does that say about our program? So my question to you, gentlemen, is I know this season is pretty much I think it's done. What do you guys think about the transfer portal? Are we going to get hit hard on that? Are our top talent going to leave us? I mean, I think about the student athlete who would want to stick around for this. I mean, year two, and I haven't seen too much progression going on with the Scotty Walden era. So, I mean, I'd like to hear your take on that and see what you guys have to say.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thanks for weighing in, Louis. As far as the transfer portal, it's a little early. I know that UTEP for NIL, they're going to use half of it for retention, half of it to go out and acquire people. But to just say, you know, they're going to lose all this talent or they're not going to lose a lot of talent is foolish. I think it's just too early to say. And I think also when it comes to talent and the transfer portal and what to expect out of it, attrition every year, not just at UTEP, but at the best schools out there, like the Alabama's, the Ohio States of the world, they're going to lose a ton of talent. They're going to get a lot of talent over the offseason too. So this is how I would look at it, Louis. Year-to-year roster making, year-to-year rebuilds, or year-to-year complete roster overhauls. And that's what happens in today's college football. It's just a reflection of today's day and age, and you can't really look at it any other way other than you're going to expect to lose some of the guys. And if you want to come up with the short list of players that you hope UTEP can keep going into next year. You can always do that. And what does it mean if they lose a lot of the players or they don't lose a lot of the players? Like, what does it truly mean? If they lose everybody, you can spin it and say, well, they need better talent. They need to go out and acquire better people in the offseason, in the transfer portal. But on the flip side, let's say they retain everybody. You could spin it negatively and say, well, do you really want everybody back from this year's squad that had a losing record? A lot of different ways you can look at it, man. And I think it's hard. It's a little bit more difficult than it is to just say how many guys are simply going to the transfer portal, how many guys are simply going to leave here at UTEP. Back to the phones. It's Brian who's joining us next. Brian, good evening, man. What's up?
Hey, Adrian. You know, I usually don't like to call back to other callers because most of them bring up good points. But I'm going to bring up what Daniel said about Malachi Nyssen being, oh, he's so much better than Skyler. Here's the thing. Analytically, you don't even have to look at Malachi's analytics to know he's bad. Like, look at that interception pick six versus La Tech, for example. He was looking right at him, and there was no one covering the DB, and that resulted in that pick six. It's not a matter of analytics. It's just a matter of how the quarterback plays. And you're right, Adrian. There's really not a quarterback on this roster that has the capability to run this offense effectively. And not to mention all the other factors. Like, our RB1 literally wears a cast, after all. So that's all it really has to tell about how the offense is and all that. And sadly, the defense couldn't recover for it either because gave up that really bad touchdown on the first drive that Jack State had. And overall, just many flaws were there. But what do we expect? That's just UTEP for you. But overall, I don't really have much else to say. It's the same old stuff I call them about every week. But I will say this. Get ready to learn Davion Singleton next year.
There you go. Hey, I like it. A little Davion Singleton quarter right there. And I like it. Good stuff, Brian. Appreciate your phone call. Let's do this. We're going to take our first and only break of the program, and we're going to come back with final thoughts, guys. I feel like we did a good job of writing it all or talking a lot about it early, the whole game breakdown. The show took a crazy detour, and I thought it went off the rails with a couple crazy takes here on the program tonight. But it's all good. I appreciate everybody's phone calls, and I appreciate everybody's passion here on the program talking UTEP football. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP 30-27. We'll come back. Final thoughts coming up next, along with look ahead at what is to come for the Miners against Missouri State. That's coming up next Saturday, along with UTEP basketball on that day as well. We'll take a break right here. When we come back, we'll wrap things up here on Miner Talk, presented by Jack in the Box here on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, welcome back. Miner Talk continues. We're winding things down. Appreciate everybody here in the building. Co-hosts here on the program, Sal Montes, Zay Galindo, along with Andy Inestrosa, who is producing the show, screening the phone calls, making sure everything sounds great behind the glass. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600 ESPN El Paso, our free mobile app. Let's get to all the comments coming into the program. Pinky chimes in. That final minor offensive play. Actually, Kenny Odom dropping passes didn't help. Didn't get it. They needed a field goal. Snappy, another year, another bowl-less season. Hopefully they beat New Mexico State. What else is there? Brandon Vaughn, it's so frustrating seeing first-time head coaches in Conference USA have success, and Scotty Walden will most likely go 3-9, hopefully again in year two. Only see NMSU as a possible win this year. Poncho, the day the offense shows up, sort of, the defense doesn't. Embarrassing that a team became FBS a couple years ago is a top Conference USA, and UTEP football is still looking for a season with more than three wins. At least UTEP men's basketball looks promising. Hashtag Miner Talk. Your thoughts, Zay, on the fact that the offense shows up, sort of, and the defense doesn't?
You know, I feel like every time I buy into this defense, it kind of disappoints me. They're good. They're a good group, but they gave up 275 rushing yards today, and that's unacceptable. You can't have that. And especially, like they said, the offense kind of showed up today. You know, I picked UTEP because of the logic, hey, best group, best unit versus best unit, I'm taking UTEP's defense, and kind of backfires on me. But nonetheless, I still think they have a lot of potential defensively. The thing that I see, they don't have a pass rush at all. Like, their pass rush is pathetic this year. And I think their D-line has just kind of deteriorated throughout the year. I think they've kind of just gotten worn down, and that's unfortunate because I really looked at that group as one of the better on the team. Nonetheless, I think that there's still a lot to grow for, but there's no pass rush. They're not forcing a lot of sacks. They're definitely not forcing any turnovers, and that's so different from what we saw last year with J.J. Clark's defense.
So Echo Taylor totaled six tackles in this matchup, and you can look at other guys like Shaq Bowser, three tackles, and even Katie Johnson with two tackles and also a tackle for loss in this matchup right here. But, you know, those guys on that D-line are kind of carrying them right now. I just feel like there's been deflating moments on that D-line that make us look differently with this group. Last week it was Izani's roughing the passer penalty and Cole Gustafson, his unsportsmanlike conduct penalty late in the game that made you think otherwise. This week, you know, just not a lot of pass rush like you mentioned. It's a lot of RPO though with Jacksonville State, so I'll give UTEP a little grace knowing that that D-line still is one of their strong points of the team, albeit maybe they've taken a bit of a step back, maybe a half step back if you really want to look at it and you want to be picky. I'll still say this, that their production is solid. I don't like the three-man fronts. I saw a lot of three-man fronts on that D-line tonight, or today, I should say. They need to go four-man. They're not big enough to go three-man here when it's all said and done. So I want to see that change moving forward, but still bought into this D-line moving forward. Chris chimes in. Time to turn the page to UTEP basketball, maybe next year. Luis Velez, our offensive-minded coach with the worst final three plays of the game burns a timeout because his offense can't get set with the game on the line. Total high school-level coaching. Ugh. Michael Cuviello. There we go, Sal.
Our guy.
I think Delaware and Missouri State are winnable games, but a very disappointing year once again. Brandon Vaughn, I could see it, but I mean, for the first time in 3 years, we'll actually have to beat a team over 500. I'm bullish, but I'm cautiously optimistic with Missouri State next week. This is from Manny David. I gave football a pass this season. Same with basketball. I'm counting down to next year in the Mountain West. Football and basketball, like a kid counting down to Christmas. Hashtag Minor Talk. This is coming in from Ridge Eagle El Paso. Wish list for next year is to see UTEP recruit an actual quarterback and Walden to actually have an offensive coordinator / quarterback coach and let him focus on head coaching duties. This is from Fourth and Words. It will be even sadder when upsets or upstarts like Kennesaw, Missouri State, and Delaware will all be bowling and we can't even seem to get it together. This is Trey Pollitt's football has hit rock bottom under this high school coach. This is coming in from Snappy. This has to be a new caller with a funny face on it. Snappy, Minor Talk, live look at the caller saying to trust the process and it takes 5 years. Chuck, wow, recruits to see that crowd and they are like, bleep this. Oh, man. Some really tough stuff coming in here on the program, guys. Couple other ones. This one's coming in on our app. This is from Linda on our app. How about our punter, Ray Guy Award watch list? Let's promote that indeed. Noah Botsford today, and I tweeted a lot about him. Noah Botsford, four punts, average of 54 yards and a long of 70, guys. Three inside the 20, and the long of 70 is the longest punt UTEP's had since, get this, 2013's Mike Ruggles. Sal, wow. When's the last time you had a Mike Ruggles conversation?
You know what? We got to be serious, man. We really do. And whatever, I don't care. But you got to take any win you can get. But if we go back maybe like the last 20 years or so,
yes,
this is like the best stretch of special teams as far as kickers and punters go for UTEP. I mean, we're going back to
Zay doesn't like this one.
Reagan Snyder, Gavin Beckley a couple years ago, Botsford, an amazing punter this year. Like, I'm going to take those wins, okay? Just kickers and punters that shine. We're not going to talk about any others. We're not going to talk about Buzz Beats Bearcats and stuff like that. No way. So ignore that. But I'm loving this goated kicker punter that we've been seeing.
Okay. Zay, thoughts? Quick thoughts.
Yeah, because I could go on and on about this. No. I just have to say no. Like,
oh,
no.
Man. That's funny. My dad texted into the program. Can we call the Scotty, the people who are all taking off their shirts and waving the shirts around? He has a nickname for them, the Scotty Skins. What do you guys think? Because Scotty Walton did go shirtless at a basketball game. The Scotty Skins for all the guys who ran up and went shirtless. right there. Zay, your thoughts? You got a chance to watch that up close and personal.
Yeah, I saw it like happen. Like I saw the like birth of it. Like I saw when the first guy took his shirt off, and I was like, oh my goodness.
You knew it was coming, huh?
Yeah, I knew it was coming. And hey, you know, Scotty said post game, like they made a real difference. So, you know, I think that's a fitting name.
If I had a time, this is from Sidelines UTEP, our pal. If I had a time machine, I'd take the young diehard UTEP fans like Zay and Brian and let them experience what the Sun Bowl felt like during 2005. Unreal how much we've fallen off since the Mike Price days. I had to do the math, Zay. When the 2005 team was out, I was like, wait a second. Zay was not born at the time.
That's
this,
crazy,
this
man.
Team was out there. You were not even alive when 2005 hit, Zay.
I wasn't. Like, the most successful UTEP year is a 7-6 year during like my whole life is seven wins and six losses. Like,
man,
yeah.
And isn't it crazy, Sal, that they're hanging banners and recognizing 8-4 teams?
You know what's wild? Yes, it is, by the way. To answer that question, it absolutely is. But hey, man, it's UTEP. You got to take what you can get, considering all the winning that hasn't happened here. But to Zay's point, when you were saying like, man, he wasn't even alive. There's been times where we're working, you know, doing whatever game, and we'll just blurt out random names, and then I'll say a random name like, Howard Jackson. Like, Howard Jackson was nasty. Who was that? You know, or stuff like that. Not exactly him, but
yeah,
I forget.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't around for it. I'll mention a random name, and we'll have to pull up very pixelated YouTube videos for him to maybe see who it is. So,
Hey, you know who I also feel bad for? Samir Montes, who has not experienced any
wins. He's all in on the Lions, man. It's all good, bro. He's, good. He doesn't even know about UTEP.
Yeah, you're the dad of the year,
God
then.
God bless him. Yeah,
yeah, good. Evil Adrian Pradas at Evil UTEP Burner. This is very bad, but I hate that I expected this, though. It's just a circle of doom for the Miners. Wake up, Adrian. You were right with this team being a gimmick and bad. Ugh. he had a funny Alberto hashtag on that one that was hilarious. Julian, does Walton clear out the entire quarterback room this offseason except for Warner and take a swing at a JUCO transfer portal quarterback this offseason? I have no clue what they do at the quarterback position. Who cares? Like, honestly, the quarterback position has been so scrutinized at this show, and I just don't understand why. Pete Byrne, I'm a lifelong UTEP fan. Also, I'm paralyzed from the waist down and have been in a wheelchair for 29 years, but today I was finally able to walk enough to turn this bleep off. Ain't God good. Oh man, now the burners are out too. Hashtag Miner Talk. Oh yeah, it's a rough night, you know. It's a rough day, and I felt it 2 weeks ago, guys, or whatever, a week and a half ago, whatever you want to say, when UTEP lost against Kennesaw State, and I believed, and this one I didn't believe. So I feel at least a little emotionally detached from this matchup right here. At the same time, it's still a bad loss, and you know, it's one that you feel like you think you could win if you're a UTEP. It's one that you had hoped at some points that they could make it happen. But yeah, ultimately they didn't. Miners will turn the page. It's Conference USA's Missouri State who won today. Sal talked about it earlier. And guys, we'll go around the room. We'll even ask Andy. Andy will ask you as well too. How many games do the Miners win to close out the year? We'll do game by game. Okay. So at Missouri State, we'll start with you, Zay.
I think they win.
Okay, win, Sal.
I don't, man. I think Missouri State's a lot tougher than they appear.
Okay, loss for Sal. Andy, win or loss, Missouri State?
OB, loss.
Okay, loss. I got a loss as well. Versus New Mexico State, Battle of I-10. I got a win, Zay.
Yeah, I have a win.
Sal.
I got a loss, man.
Wow.
No, because I got to be different. And
okay.
Also, can we admit it's basically a coin flip?
It's a coin flip game.
Right?
It's an absolute coin flip game.
Yeah, you guys chose
Andy,
one side, I chose the other.
Battle of I-10.
I would say like a close loss for sure.
Close loss. Mm. Wow. Okay, at Delaware to close out the year. Sal, where are you going?
I'm going loss, man.
Losing out.
But we
got
to be real. Two of these three teams remaining have something to play for.
Yes.
You know, whether yes. It's, you know, some stripes on their belt or something ahead of them. These are the newest members of Conference USA. They want to put their foot on the neck. So it's going to be very hard for those games.
Andy, win or loss at Delaware?
I would say like a win for sure.
Okay, win. A win.
For sure.
For sure win on his side. Zay at Delaware.
I'll just say a win.
You're saying this team wins out. Zay,
I am.
Zay, you're not done with this team. You're not done with this team. Guys, a 5-7 to close out the year. 5-7.
Look,
that's what I want. That's what
look,
I want you to
hear
tell me.
Hear me out, okay? All these games are coin flips. You know, Sal said the NMSU game is a coin flip, and yeah, sure, they are coin flips. But you know, the good thing about coin flips, you have a 50% chance to win. And you know, I might as well go against the grain. I might as well go opposite of Sal, and I'll say they're going to win all three of these because. I've said it before, no one, and that includes UTEP, no one's good in this conference. You guys can let Missouri State fool you with their nice little 6-3 record. They're terrible. UTEP's terrible. This conference is terrible. So anything can happen on any given Saturday. And, you know, I've learned to be more optimistic in everything. And I'm going to take the optimistic side and say, even though UTEP's terrible, I think they'll win these next three games.
Okay. He has them winning out. Sal has them losing out. I'm going to say L in the final game at Delaware, and Miners go 1-2 to close out the year, 3-9 to finish out the season, and going into the offseason just like that. So we'll see what happens, guys. But I feel like that's a fitting way to close out the show. Actually, this is the fitting way to close out the show. Zay from Joe Chacon, he says, I got to hang out with some Miner greats today, and I ran into UTEP Zay. These games give me a chance to not fall asleep too late. Did you see my Miner tat on the Jumbotron? They asked me to show it. Hashtag Miner Talk, hashtag Miner Ink Crew. And there you go. Joe Chacon. Fitting way to end the show right there. At the buzzer, throwing in a tweet with us here on the program. Jacksonville State defeats UTEP 30-27. That'll do it for us here on the program today. For Andy Inestrosa, for Sal Montes, for Zay Galindo, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are back in action on Tuesday as UTEP basketball takes on Loyola Marymount. Should be a fun game. Thanks again to Jack in the Box as our presenting sponsor here on the program. We'll be back in action on Tuesday right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.